Take your Bibles, if you would, please. Now, from just looking at the text, you might just guess that I might be beginning to preach on hell or something like that, and certainly could from this text. But actually, I want to focus on the word, thou fool, and speak about this for a while. There's a lot of foolishness taking place in our world today. As a matter of fact, it's so ridiculous, I can't believe people believe it. And a matter of fact, it's so outrageous that I would maybe accept it as a joke or as some type of a funny trick, but they're serious about it. It's amazing to me where our generation is at and where our world is at. Now, the Bible says a lot about the fool. A matter of fact, we say some things about the fool. Let me see if you can finish some of these sentences. Ready? Here we go. There is a fool born every minute, every day or minute. A fool and his money are soon parted. That's right. There is no fool like an old fool. Absolutely. So we know this. And as a matter of fact, we read 189 times in the Bible about the fool or fools or the foolish. 189 times. This is very strong language that God uses to describe these people. In Matthew 5, verse 22, it says, "But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Now the word Raca, it's a Hebrew word, and it means to be empty-headed. We've known people who have been empty-headed, haven't we? And it's the same word for fool. It means to be, empty one, thou worthless one, and it deals with character assassination. The word fool simply means dull, stupid, heedless, these things. So what does the Bible say about the fool? And let me ask you this question. Could you be a fool this morning and not know it? I don't think we should quickly dismiss, well, this is somebody else. This is not me or my group. Could you be a fool? Listen, are you a fool with your money? Are you a fool with your time? Are you a fool among companions of fools? There's a lot the Bible says about it. Interesting, God has led me to preach on this morning. But I want you to notice, if you would, first of all, God says a fool is one who denies the existence of God. He tells us clearly in Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool hath said in his heart. He may not verbalize it. Today they do. But the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. We see the conditions. These are corrupt people. Now let me tell you why the atheist says there is no God. It gives him freedom to live the life that he wants to live without any kind of consequences or aftermath of having to face God. He says they have done abominable works. They are involved in the worst of the worst. This man who lives his life void of a conscience of God, void of a judgment day, void of a hereafter. I've known atheists. I've lived beside an atheist. And I've talked with him about the Lord. And we were moving into a house, and he came over. He's our next door neighbor. And he came over. His name was Donnie. And he says, "My name is Donnie so-and-so." I said, "Hi, I'm Rick Savage." He said, "Well, I'm your neighbor. And I just wanted to come over and meet you." So that's wonderful. He says, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm an associate pastor here in Memphis, Tennessee." He says, you know, you would have thought I told him I was a salesman or something, and I don't know what. And I said, "Is that bad?" He said, "Well, I'm an atheist, and I hate to be next door to a Bible banger." And he said, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God." He said, "Nobody on the street knows that." I said, "Well, I don't blame you. I'd be ashamed of it, too." That's what I said to him. And we lived there side by side for a little over 3 years. There on Barbwood, Rick, you lived there, too, right down the street. and I would witness to him, and I would talk to him about the Lord, and he would put his hands up, and he absolutely immediately hated me because I was a born-again believer. He would weed his flower beds and throw his weeds in my front yard. He would do that. And said, what did you do? I burned his house down and everything. No, I didn't do anything like that. And I didn't strike back. I did pray for the Lord to deal with him, and the Lord certainly did. And I went over one day, and I knocked on his door, and he opened the door, and I began to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, I'm not going to listen to this. And he shut the door, and I heard the chain go on the door. And I had an evangelist friend with me. Evangelist Bud Stahl is with the Lord now, and he was with me. We were talking to him. So I pulled up one day, several months later, I pulled up in the driveway and just came in from the office, had my suit on, my Bible's on the car, on the seat right beside me. And he's with a friend out in the front yard, and they're working on this engine, this big, he had this huge, huge, enormous boat that you'd see like going down the Tennessee River or the Mississippi River. And as I was getting out of the car, he says, hey, preacher, I got my buddy here. I guess he felt like I double-teamed him with Brother Stahl. He said, I've got my buddy here. I got my friend here. You want to come talk to us about, you want to come smack with some Jesus stuff today? And I said, boy, do I. And I got my Bible, and I started marching across my yard to his absolute truth. His friend looked this way in panic and ran out to the street where his car was and laid a patch of rubber and took off. And then Donnie jumped up and looked this way and that way and went in and slammed the door and put the chain back on again. I want you to know, you better not mess with the boy with the dog-eared Bible. He knows where to go. And we have no reason to back up. We have no reason to compromise. And we see here, God has said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. One of my friends, Ori O'Gorman in Ireland, he branched out from his father's church and went away closer to the coast there in Ireland, which I think that's where I would want to be too. And he rented this building, and it was a pretty sad-looking building, but it was all brick and just natural cinder block brick. And he painted it white, and they remodeled the inside, and he started a Baptist church there, and he started reaching souls for Jesus in that area. And he met some resistance from some of those pug people. Of course, in Ireland, you can cross one street to the other for a pug. And he met some resistance, and somebody had wrote with big black paint, there is no God, on the side of his building. Freshly white painted brick. Remember that, Debbie? And Ori O'Gorman took some red paint and wrote above it, the fool has said in his heart. Man, the newspaper came out. They made a big story about it, front page. Ori sent it to me, and we were praising the Lord for that. Can I tell you this? Our conscience declares there's a God. You see, Romans 1 verse 19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. God has manifested in our conscience that there's a hereafter, there's a God, there is a superior being, there is someone that we will answer to. We know this. Faith is a gift that's been given to us. And any atheist that I've ever met, and I've talked with several, I said, there was a time you believed in God. And I said, well, yeah, you know, I believed in the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny. I said, no. I said, there was a time you believed in God, but someone educated you out of your faith, out of your belief. And listen, they cannot stand against it because our conscience declares there's a God. And then not only that, but our creation declares that there's a God. In Romans 1 verse 20, the Bible says, for the invisible things of him from the creation. Somebody made that tree. Somebody made that grass. Somebody made that seed that you make bread out of. Somebody, somebody made the galaxies and the stars and the sun, and somebody keeps it in perfect harmony as everything revolves in perfect harmony. Listen, God has shown us through his creation that there is a God. It says, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You say, what does that mean? That means no one is excused from receiving the Savior. God has revealed himself to the naked savage in the darkest jungle of New Guinea. God has revealed himself. That's why they hewn out stones of God. That's why they chisel out stones of wood. They know there's someone to pay homage to. They know there's someone that's greater than them. They see the galaxy. They see much darker than we can out in the darkness of the jungle. They don't have the bright lights that we have. And I want you to know, God has revealed himself to him, to these people, to all people. It's even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You can argue all day with this crowd. They want to argue. God gives the believer good counsel about this group. He says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babbling and opposition of science falsely so called. You know, they want to say, well, you know, if I can't taste it, if I can't see, if I can't feel it, you know, if I can't hear, I have these five senses, you know, where is God at today? You know, boy, I tell you one thing. I'd love to see God just give him a touch. He could do it, couldn't he? But I want you to know, real science validates God. If you study real science, it validates God. There is a guy who was an atheist. And he would come to a well-known park, and it was a place where this was accepted, where you could get up on your own soapbox. And he would get up on his own soapbox, and he would spew off his atheism and how there's no God and how God is weak and how you're weak to have a God, and your God is not a God. Your God's a crutch, and you're a weak person. And there's a boy who would come through from football practice. And he'd still have his pads on, and he'd have 2 hours of football practice, and he'd take a shortcut through the park to get to his parents' apartment. And he was coming through, and he heard this boy, this man spewing about it. And he says, I challenge you. He says, I challenge you. If there's a God in heaven, having knocked me off this pedestal, if there's a God in heaven, I give him 5 minutes to knock me down. Where's your God at, if there's a real God? And old number 86 strapped his helmet on. He says, if there's a God, having knocked me off this pedestal. And old 86 started running down. He said, I give him 5 minutes. Where's your God at? And about that time, boom, 86 tackled him, knocked him about 12 feet off the pedestal. And then he stood up over him and said, God was busy, so he sent me. True story. Understand this. Colossians 2, verse 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments, the principles of the world, and not after Christ. Don't listen to their garbage. Don't listen to that jargon. It's rubbish. That's an Irish word for garbage. Now listen, not only does the Bible say, or God say, the fool is one who denies his existence, but God says that a fool is one who delights in sin. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen, the fool mocks this sin's existence. He says in Proverbs 10, verse 23, and as you can probably imagine, I'll be a lot in Proverbs, but it says, it is as sport to the fool to do mischief. It's sport to him to go out and club, to go out and sin, to go out and his recreation and his relaxation are all debauchery. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. Reason makes no difference to the fool. Man, I tell you what, you can sit down with a fool and you can give him all the points and give him all the understanding. He just loves his sin. He refuses to be reasoned about it. I tell the fool that his sin's going to kill him. He doesn't care. Man, you can walk up. I was behind a car at the stoplight not long ago. And someone rolled their window out. I thought the car was on fire. So much smoke came out of there. And then it came out again. And then it came out again. I thought Geronimo was in there sending smoke signals up, man. And he was vaping. He was vaping this. I don't know if you've read about this, but hundreds of kids have been killed by blocking their airways with this vape. And they feel like it's a safer alternative than cigarettes or cigars. Can I tell you this? If God wanted us to be a chimney, He had made us a chimney. And we shouldn't be doing this stuff. It's going to kill you. But the fool, you can't reason it with him. He's going to vape. He's going to smoke. He's going to drink. He's going to do drugs. Let me tell you this. I've got to go to the dentist this Wednesday. I've got to have a root canal. I dread the shots that are going to go in there. And but I want to tell you, I never was going to do any shot in here. Man, I want to tell you, I played sports as a young man, and I try to be in good shape, but I've never wanted to, you know, let it under my skin and do drugs and things like that. The fool has no care. He does not look at consequences. Proverbs 26, verse 11, as a fool returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. All men make mistakes. We all do. But only a fool is persistent in it and refuses to turn from it. We see that the fool mocks sin's existence, but they also mock sin's effect. And the Bible says in Proverbs 14, verse 16, a wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. He's the exception to the cause. You sit down and you can give him the facts. You know, trust the science, right? You can give him the facts. You can tell him how terrible this is and how this sin is going to kill him. It's going to hurt him. But listen, he rages. He'll stand. He'll rage. He'll plead his case. He'll demand his way. And he is confident because he's a fool. The fool mocks sin's existence and its effect, but also sin's end. It says in James 1, verse 15, listen to what God says. Then when lust is conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. The fool sees no consequences. He just goes ahead. He doesn't weigh it. I remember several years ago here in this church, there was a man that I met. And he and his wife were terribly on drugs, terrible. And he had been on drugs since he was like very young, like 10 or 11 or 12. Brother Dean Manley, who's signing, he knows this person quite well. And I met both of them. And to the glory of God, I was able to open the Bible and lead them to Jesus. And they began to attend our church very faithfully and serving the Lord and walking with God for a long period of time. But something happened, and his family called me one night and said, Pastor, would you come over here? We need some help. My son, I don't want to give his name, but my son, he's terrible on drugs. He's dying, and he refuses to go to the emergency room. Would you please come over here? If he listens to anybody, he'll listen to you. And I drove over there, and I sat with him and prayed with him. I said, you're going to die. You're going to die tonight if we don't get you there. You have overdosed. You have OD'd. But you need to be cooperative. We need to take you. And we got him to the ER. We saved his life. But let me tell you this. He died before he was ever 50. Before he's ever 50 years old. Now, let me tell you, some of you feel like, man, 50's old. 50 is nothing. 70's looking better every day for me, let me tell you. Although I'm way from that. But you'll learn the older you get, the faster those years are spinning off, aren't they? I was talking to a man who was an incredible businessman. He had an incredible business. He had a great business in Georgia, but lost it because of alcohol. And he had a business up in Charlotte, North Carolina, lost it because of alcohol. Finally, out of desperation, they moved here to Jackson. Her family's here, and she would have some family support and started a business. His business took off, was doing great. He and I became very good friends. And they went on a cruise, and he came back so inebriated that his pancreas and his body was shutting down. Debbie and I went to the hospital to visit him. He was so infested with alcohol, he literally glowed red. I've seen the drunkard with his red nose, but I've never seen the whole body glowing red. And they had him strapped down with cuffs. And I went in there and I talked to him, good friends. And I said, listen, I've come here. I want you to know we're concerned for you. And I want to have a word of prayer. Remember, Debbie, I said, I want to have a word of prayer. He said, don't do that. Don't pray for me. Don't pray in this room. I don't want to have you pray. He became very aggressive like that. And I left. I didn't pray, and I left. And some more time went by. His business was declining, was falling down all around him. His marriage just disintegrated. And now he's alone, living at his business, sleeping at his business, sad. And one morning at 3 o'clock, a little after 3 o'clock, he called me and said, "Rick, I'm dying. Would you please come and help me?" And I jumped in my car a little after 3 o'clock, and I drove up to his place of business. And when I did, he came out, and he sat in my front seat, and I looked at him, and he says, "I think I'm dying." And I said, "You are. You're dying." I said, "I've got to get you to the ER. That's the only way we're going to save you. We got to go to the hospital." He said, "I don't want to go there." I said, "Why don't you want to go there?" He says, "There's a lot of people who work there. A lot of doctors are my customers. A lot of nurses are my customers. They're going to know who I am." I said, "We got to go or you're going to die." And I took him to the ER, and they saved his life. Later on, he came on the internet to my defense, saying that man that you're criticizing saved my life. Listen to me. The fool, you can't reason with them. They don't understand that their sin will ultimately lead them to sin. You know, I can tell you about young ladies. I've been in ministry long enough. I can give you illustration after illustration after illustration of people who were the fool. Listen to me. Proverbs 20 verse 1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Well, the fool, the Bible says, I'm not saying this, God says, a fool is one who denies the existence of God. A fool is one who delights in sin. And then he says that a fool is one who despises instruction. Boy, you can't tell a fool anything. Proverbs 18 verse 20 says, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover it. He says in Proverbs 17, verse 16, wherefore is there a price in the hand of a fool to get wisdom, seeing he hath no heart to it? There's no desire, there's no heart for understanding and wisdom in the fool. Proverbs 23, verse 9 says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. Boy, have I learned that verse. Have I told the fool which way? And I'll tell you what, there's been those who I love dearly, and I told them where they're going to head, where their sin was going to lead them, and they haven't listened to me. They've refused to listen. They've cut me off completely. They won't take my phone calls. They will talk bad about me, and that's fine. I don't care about that, but I want you to know this. They're a fool, and you can't reason with them. You speak not into the ears of the fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy word. Say, what did you do to that guy? I told him the truth, and he didn't want to hear it. See, it's a wise man that searches for wisdom and realizes that he doesn't know it all. That's right. We live in a generation of fools that know everything. They know everything. You know what? You're a fool if you decide to make a major decision and you don't get counsel on it. You're not only a fool, you're arrogant and you're proud.
Yeah.
At 66 years old, I still have pastors and godly men that I call, and I want to iron sharpeneth iron. They're just going to make me and help me. But you have young people today who've never even lived. They never even understand how life is going to be. They don't want to hear it. They don't want your input. They're going to live their life. It's the liberal fool who is always consistently talking and talks over you. He will talk over you. He will not receive any kind of constructive criticism. Why? Because they hate wisdom. The fool wants to drown out common sense. You can't talk to a fool. Proverbs 17, verse 28, even a fool, when he holds his peace, is counted wise. And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. When a fool doesn't like the preaching, man, you'll know it. They'll tell you. You see, they can't keep their mouth shut. Proverbs 12, verse 16, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 3, for a dream cometh through a multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? I think when I read that, I think of people. They don't ever shut up. They can't listen. They're going to over-talk you. They're going to overshout you. They cannot bear. And when you tell them what God says about their sin, about their lifestyle, about their behavior, about their direction, they despise your words and they hate you. The fool despises the scope of instruction. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. I know what I'm doing. I don't have to have help with this. I've got this. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. And whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. The fool doesn't like positive or negative. The fool just desires to be left alone with his own thinking. You know, they love to say, well, that's your interpretation. They love to say, I've got to follow my heart in this. Well, let me tell you something. Your heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? The fool, he despises the scope of instruction, but he also despises the sense of instruction. 1 Corinthians 3:18 says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. It's always the fool that says, there's so many interpretations to Scripture. No, there's not. There's one interpretation. I mean, you may be able to pluck a verse out of a chapter and make it say what you want to say, but if you read the chapter content, you cannot do that. Understand, the fool is a wise guy who knows everything except how to keep others from thinking him a fool. In Proverbs, or in Romans 1, verse 22 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. You see the fool, we see the scope of the instruction, the sense of instruction, and then the fool despises the source of instruction. In Proverbs 24, verse 7, wisdom is too high for a fool. He openeth not his mouth in the gate. The fool says, I'll be glad to learn. Listen to me. I'll be glad to learn, and I'll be glad to be taught, but not from that book, and not from a pastor, or not from a church house. Can I tell you, there's people Brother Reyes told me about in his mission field. And there are people that I know today that I've counseled with other pastors who are at the point of committing suicide, who go into their room and they live in their room for weeks on months on end. They can't sleep. Their life, and I want to tell you something, these are young people. These are 18, 19, 20, 21-year-olds. They all that, man, when I was that age, I had the world by the tail, everything. I couldn't wait to get up the next morning and get with it. These people, let me tell you this. They say, oh, I need help, give me help. I need someone to help me. And they say this verbally, I will not accept help from that book or from a preacher or from a church. I want a humanistic psychiatrist to help me. And of course, what you get with that, it's your mother's fault and your daddy's fault and everybody else's fault but your fault. Yeah. Lastly, let me say this. Now listen carefully and I'll be done. God says that a fool is one who dies unprepared. Who dies unprepared. Can I ask you something? Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared for death? Are you foolish in thinking that you've got years and years to live when your life could be snuffed out like that today? The Bible says that life is a vapor here today and gone forever. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. We may never know that tomorrow comes. That today is the day of salvation. Today is the reckoning day. In Luke 12, verse 20, the Bible says this, and God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? This is a rich man. He was greatly blessed. He had so much substance that he had to break down his smaller barns and build larger barns. He rested himself. He said, I'll sit back and I'll just rest and I'll just live the good life. But God says, tonight, this night, thy soul shall be required. Now notice these things and will be done. First of all, notice the fool's gain. In Luke chapter 12, the Bible says in verse 16 and 17, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? We see the fool's gain. In Proverbs 28, verse 22, the Bible reminds us, he that hasteneth to be rich hath an evil eye, and considereth not the poverty shall come unto him. So we see the fool's gain. Notice the fool's greed. In verse 18 of Luke chapter 12, it says, and he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. There's an old English proverb that says, riches serve a wise man, but command a fool. We see this fool's goal, if you would, in verse 19. He says, I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I think we could translate that today. You got a lot of stuff. You're set to go for many years. Party hardy. And we see here not just this rich man's gain and his greed and his goal, but notice his grief in verse 20 and verse 21. He says, and God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be when thou hast provided, which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasures for himself and is not rich towards God. This man died that night. You know what God wrote on his tombstone? Thou fool. You see, we have an Old Testament illustration here. In 2 Samuel chapter 3, the Bible tells us about a man. His name is Abner. King David loved Abner. And Abner was killed outside the gate of the city of refuge. Now, Abner was guilty of manslaughter. He killed Joab's brother in war. And if there was a manslaughter, you know, it could be very easily, if I'm showing, no, it would never happen with me because I've never had a negligent discharge. But if you're showing a weapon to somebody and didn't clear it, maybe the magazine was at it, but there was one in the pipe, and he was looking at it and pulled the trigger, or you were showing him and pulled the trigger, or it discharged, and you accidentally shot someone and they died, that wouldn't be murder one, it'd be manslaughter. It wasn't intent to murder. And there's a place called the City of Refuge. And if you were guilty of a manslaughter, an accidental death, it could be you were holding the ladder for someone, and for some reason you left and they fell, and the family felt like you were responsible. You didn't hold the ladder. It could be a lot of things like that. You could go to the City of Refuge, and you could live in the City of Refuge if you were guilty of manslaughter, and the family could not touch you. But if they caught you outside the City of Refuge, they could kill you without any consequences. And Joab and his other brother hated Abner for the killing of their other brother that took place during war. Now listen to what David says in 2 Samuel 3, verse 33 and 34, and I'll be done. And the king lamented over Abner. He loved him. And said, look what David said. Died Abner as a fool dieth. Thy hands were not bound, nor thy feet put in fetters. As a man falleth before a wicked man, so fellest thou. And all the people wept again over him. Joab convinced Abner to step outside the City of Refuge. He convinced him that there was no ill will and he could come out now. And when he did, he gave it to him. You know what David calls him? He calls him a fool. I think we have a concept that we should be arch enemies of fools and we should loathe and hate fools. But I want to tell you something. We got a lot of people in our lives that are fools that we love. And it's going to be the end of them. You see, a fool is someone who denies the existence of God. A fool is someone who delights in their sin and refuses to repent and turn from it. A fool is someone who despises instruction, who will not listen to instruction and direction. And a fool is someone who dies unprepared to meet God. Are you prepared? Now listen to me carefully, and I'm done. Has there been a time in your life where you've had a spiritual awakening, understanding that God in heaven loves you and gave his son Jesus to die for you? That your sins could be forgiven, not because you've taken a wafer or the sacraments, not because you've prayed a rosary, not because you've been sprinkled or baptized, not because you've joined this church or any other church, but because you have cried out to God for forgiveness of your sins. You know what he says? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what he says. And have you ever done that in your life? Has there been a time in your life that you've acknowledged your sin? I'm a sinner, undone in my sins and transgressions and my iniquities. I cannot stand before God, but if I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, his blood washes away all my sins, and I can be saved. Have you done that? You see, you might be here and say, man, that is a fool to deny the existence of God. I would never do that. That is a fool to think you just plunge on and sin and continue and be okay. That is a fool who doesn't listen to good counsel and good understanding. But I want to tell you this. God says you're a fool if you're unprepared to meet God. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Would you pray with me? With heads bowed and eyes closed, listen carefully. If you're here and you say, Pastor, there's a lot of things I don't know, but I don't know if I died that I'd go to heaven. I want to go to heaven. I believe there's a heaven. I believe there's a God. And I want to go to heaven when I die. But if I die, I have absolutely no assurance, absolute positive assurance that I'm going there. I sure wish I did know that, but I don't know that today. If I died, I don't know. If I was killed in a car wreck on the way home, I don't know heaven would be my home. Would you please pray for me? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. If that is you, and you allow me to please have the privilege to pray for you. Won't embarrass you, won't pick you out, won't call your name, won't come to you, won't do any of that. I just want to pray for you. If you say, if I died right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. Would you raise your hand right up? And right back down. Yes. And yes. Anybody else? Not sure. Not certain of it. If you're here this morning and say, Pastor, there's a time in my life I had a spiritual awakening, acknowledged my sinful condition, cried out to God for forgiveness, and he saved me, and I know heaven's my home. Would you raise your hand? I know I'm going to heaven. Wonderful. Stand, would you please? Let's all stand together. Father, I pray that you bless this morning. Help us to not have this disease of the fool. Arrogance, proud, hostile, aggressive towards instruction and direction. No need of going to the ancients and getting information and wisdom. God, help the fool. God, help us. Well, I feel like there's a time in my life I was a fool, and I was too stupid and too foolish to see it. It took some time for you to bring it to my knowledge. And I pray that you do the same today, especially some of our young men and young women. Bless today. Bless this invitation. God's spoken to your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The Lord's dealing in your heart. Don't miss this time. Come to him and let God minister to you. Let the Son of God speak to you. Come right now.